Okay, we are going to continue now. Masechas Beitza, Daf Chaf Aleph Amud Beis, approximately one third down the Amud, if that. Upligad Rabbi Shimon Levi. Right. So previously, we had seen that Rav Huna said that it's permissible to go ahead and to cook on Yom Tov for non-Jews if there's also at the same time a benefit to Jews as well. That if you have, let's say, the situation that was described previously as a group of soldiers who need to be fed, and this obligation is imposed upon the members of a particular village, so Rav Huna paskin that they're permitted to go ahead and to bake bread on behalf of the soldiers, as long as the soldiers are not so makbid that none of the children can partake of the bread. But if the kids can also have, so then Rav Huna said that it's permissible to go ahead. Why? Because we say each and every piece is roi, something which could, you know, conceivably be on behalf of the Jew. So now the Gemara says, a plea to Rav Shuvan Levi, that this sheet of Rav Huna stands in contradistinction to Pidin Rav Shuvan Levi, who argues, the Amr Rav Shuvan Levi mezamnin es hanochri b'shabes, ve'ein mezamnin es hanochri b'yamtif, that it's permissible to go ahead and to invite a non-Jew to be a guest at a sud on Shabbos. However, you cannot invite a non-Jew to be a guest on Yom Tov. Gezeira shema yar bebeshvila. Why? Because we are concerned that what? You may do more, either in terms of the cooking or the baking, on behalf of the non-Jew. And as we saw, that the Torah says, ach asher yaselecha nefesh hu levadolos yaselechem lechem velo of the kachavim. And he disagrees with Rav Huna, who basically says there is no iser to be ma'ari b'shuvan. Right? Rav Huna says that as long as what, a Jew could partake of some of it, so then it's permissible to bake all of it. But you see, the Rav Shimon Levi clearly says that's not so. You cannot even be ma'ari b'shuvan. You cannot do more than that which is necessary exclusively for the Jews who are present at the Suda. Continues the Gemara, v'achaber Yaakov amar afilu b'shabbos namilo. Rav Achaber Yaakov says, even on Shabbos, you're not permitted to go ahead and invite a non-Jew to be a guest at the Suda, mishum shiyurei kosos, because of the remaining drops of wine that are in the cup. You cannot do this. Why? Because since the drops of wine are something which are going to be usher for the Jew to use, because we generally assume that wine that has been handled by a non-Jew is going to be usher for the Jew, and so therefore it is muksa, and the kos itself now becomes muksa. It's what's called a basis ledavar aser. It's something which is muksa because it's containing, it's holding muksa, namely the drops of wine. So says the Gemara, wait a second, Yahachi, if that's true that you're concerned about moving the kos because mishum muksa, so dindan nami. So even when it comes to our wine, our cups, what does it mean? When a Jew goes ahead and he drinks a cup of wine and there are a few drops left over at the end, so that's considered disgusting. Most people are not going to go ahead and lick the bottom of the cup. And so therefore, it's also, the kos is holding something which is of no use. It's not roi for anybody. And therefore, the kos should be us as well. So says the Gemara, according to Rav Achaber Yaakov, why are you saying specifically the kosos of a non-Jew, the shiure kosos of a non-Jew should be a problem on Shabbos, even the kosos of a Jew? So says the Gemara, well, the don chazi l'tarnagolin. Our wine, our cups, the shiure kosos, that will be of a Jew, so that's permissible at least for the tarnagolin, for the chickens. Why? What does that mean? It means that even if a person's not going to eat it, because it's a little disgusting, but you may be able to feed it to your animals. However, when it comes to that which is from an non-Jew, it's going to be asur b'hana, not only asur b'achila, it's a concern that maybe what we treat as estam yenam of something which is not only prohibited for achila, but even b'hana. So says the Gemara, didhu nami chadza tarnagolim. So what about for them as well? So here's the Gemara says, didhu asi isuri hana ninu. When it comes to them, so we treat the shiure kosos as being isuri hana, and that's why there's a difference. So Rav Achaber Yaakov says that afilu b'shabbos nami lo yasmin, that even on Shabbos itself you should not invite the non-Jew to the Suda, mishum shiure kosos, so it's only when it comes to the non-Jews. Because even though it's true that we have shiure kosos as well, the kosos is not going to be muksa, because the contents of the kos are still going to be mutar b'hanah, as opposed to the contents of the kos of the nachri, so that's going to be aser b'hanah. Continues the Gemara and says, well, but still, v'lital talinu agav kosa. You should be able to move the shiure kosos agav kosa. You should be able to move the kos itself. The kos is something which is not muksa, right? The kos is something which has a purpose, has a function. And so therefore, even though it's true that there are shiure kosas, some drops of wine in the kos, you should still be able to move the kos, the shiure kos is agav the kos. After all, milo amen rava metaltalin kanuna agav kitme, afagav di ikale shivreyetzim. After all, Rava taught that it's permissible on Shabbos to go ahead and to move a kanuna. Kanuna is a special type of a pot, a container, which holds the ashes where, let's say, you make a fire. So there are ashes that remain in there afterwards. The ashes themselves can be used on Shabbos for the purpose, as Rashi, of covering tzoa. Let's say you have dirt. Let's say you have excrement or something else that needs to be covered. So you can go ahead and you can cover it with the ashes. So it has a function. However, shivri yetzim, broken pieces of wood, firewood that has not been consumed, so it's really of no function whatsoever. It's not going to be of any use to cover tzoa, and it can't be burned because we're talking about Shabbos. But yet, Rava teaches you're permitted to go ahead and to move the kanuna agav kitme. You could move this container, this vessel, this pot, which has ashes, even though there are still shivri yetzim inside. So says Gemara, the same should be true over here. You should be able to go ahead and move the kos, even though there are shiure kosas, there's wine that remains in the cups. Says Gemara, hasam lavi sure hanoninu. Over there, we're not talking about anything which is aser b'hanah. We're talking about something which, at worst, is an isur muksa. But muksa is not aser b'hanah. You're just not permitted to move it. However, over here, hacha isure hanoninu. Over here, we're talking about something which is aser b'hanah as well. So when is it that Rava says that you're permitted to go ahead and to remove the kanuna, something which you would have thought would have been a basis, but it's not treated in that way? It's considered to be a basis, a davar ha'aser v'hamotur, because really the isur itself is something which is only an isur muksa. Over here, the reason why we do not want, Rachab Yaakov doesn't want you moving the kos, mishum the shiure kosas, because of the remnants of wine that are in the kosas, because we're dealing with something which is an isur hana. And amli revachem yidifti l'ravina. The Gemara continues to talk about the question over here of moving shiure kosas, that you know, as far as muksa is concerned. So he said to him, revachem yidifti l'ravina lahavi ki graf shereyei. It should still be permissible to move it, because this is what's called a graf shereyei. Graf literally is a kli cheres. It's a type of vessel. Rei is tso, is excrement. So there's a concept on Shabbos and Yom Tov of graf shei rei, meaning even though sometimes you're not permitted, most often you're not permitted to move something which has no function whatsoever, graf shei rei is an exception to that rule. That's something which is considered to be disgusting, that it would be very bothersome to keep it lying around. So therefore, let's say a baby's diaper is considered to be graf shereyei. So technically it should be muksa, but you're permitted to go ahead and to pick it up and throw in the garbage, because imagine having to leave that around all Shabbos. And the same is true regarding other things as well. Something which nobody would want lying around is considered graf shereyei. So here as well, you have the shiori kosos. So Rav Acham Yidifti says to Ravina, it should still be considered graf shereyei. So Amalei Ravina, v'chiyos in graf shereyei l'chadchila. So he says, what, do we go ahead and make graf shereyei l'chadchila? What was it that Rav Acher said? He said, you cannot invite a non-Jew l'chadchila to your house to Shabbos, because he's going to drink from the wine, and then there's going to be some shiure kosos left over in the end, and then what are you going to do with the kos? So it's true at that point, it may be graf shiurei, but you're not allowed to go ahead and put yourself in a situation l'chadchila where you're then going to you're going to rely on a heter to go ahead and move that muksa later. And that's why Rav Acher says, not only should you not invite a non-Jew to a Suda on Yom Tov, because you're concerned about what? Concerned about being ma'abri b'shiurim for cooking, even on Shabbos you can't do it, because we are concerned about shiure kosos. Adibre Rava l'Rav Shmuel, l'mar Shmuel. So Rava once led Mar Shmuel through the city, v'darish, and he said, mezamnes anachri b'Shabbos, ve'in mezamnes anachri b'yom tov, gzeir shem yabib shvilo. So sort of to have some closure on this discussion, he's paskin that it's permissible to go ahead and invite a non-Jew to a suda on Shabbos. You don't have to be concerned about the tiltul kosos because the shura kosos are inside. It's not a concern. He wasn't worried about that because it's not really considered tiltul muksa when you have something which is so little, so insignificant inside of a kos which is otherwise very chashiv. However, the halach is that we are not mizamin anochi b'yamtif, again, gezer shem yabri b'shvila, because we are still concerned about being mar b'shurim, mereimar marzutra, ki avi makli luhu nochi b'yamtif. Then the Gemara concludes by telling us that mereimar and marzutra, when they would have guests, non-Jewish guests on yamtif, amrile, they would say, inichalach b'may de trichalon mutav, v'lo tircha yisera daita didach lo tarchinon. That if you like what we have put out here, in other words, if this is enough for you, then great. Then you're welcome to stick around and stay and eat. However, if you're not satisfied, if you need more, so then, sorry, we can't do anything for you because we will not be matshriach ourselves, meaning we're not going to go ahead and do anything which would constitute a prohibition on Yom Tov to accommodate you, because again, the pasuk says, lochem v'lo la'ovdei kochav. Okay, the next Mishnah, Beishama Yomim lo yecham adam chamin l'raglov. Elam kein ru'uyin l'shasiyah. Rabbi Shammai says you're not permitted to go ahead on Yom Tov and to go ahead and to heat up, to boil water in order to clean your feet, right? Take a little bath or something like that. This is not permissible unless the water is actually roi la'achila. If that's the case, then it's considered to be mutter mishum ochel nefesh, and then if you decide to go ahead and use it for some other purpose, such as washing your feet, that's permissible. However, it has to be roi l'shasiyah. Beis Hillel matirin. Beis Hillel say, no, it's mutter under all circumstances. The Beis Hillel say, even though your motivation in this particular situation is not, you're not looking to boil the water to drink it, it's still permissible. And the Mishnah brings one of the din, osa ada madura umischamim kenegdet. A person go ahead and light a fire on Yom Tov in order to warm himself by that fire. This is clearly, definitely something which is not tzarech ochel nefesh. You're not going to be eating anything over here. Nevertheless, this is permissible, and the Gemara is going to explain the reason for this heter. So says the Gemara, Yibay Lahu, they had the following shaila. Hai Madura, man katanila. When it says the Madura over here, in the Sefer of the Mishnah, it's permissible to go ahead and to make a fire, a torch, in order to warm yourself up. So whose shita is this following? Is it Divrei HaKolhi? Is this going both according to Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel? Vishani Lahu Beis Shammai, Bein Hanas Kogufo, and maybe Beis Shammai is basically saying there's a difference between doing something which will be of benefit to only part of your body as opposed to hanah for your entire body. The entire body, so Beis Shammai seems to be saying, according to this tzad in the Gemara, it's permissible to go ahead and make a madura. Why? Because your whole body will benefit from it. And this really is dum yod ochel nefesh. When you think about it, when you eat something, so it benefits your entire body. What does that mean? It means you feel, with your entire body, you feel a sense of satisfaction, not to mention the nutritional benefit. So it's something which is beneficial to the entire body, as opposed to maybe he objected in the ratio of the mission to go ahead and to warm water, to boil water, to wash off your feet. That's only le'ever echad. That's why Beis Shammai prohibits that over there, because it's not really dum yedochel nefesh, because it's really only beneficial to one part of the body. Oh, Dilma, maybe no. Maybe we say that Beis Hillel katanila, that Beis Shammai would not allow this anyway. And the whole Sefer of the Mishnah over here, which says, Osa Adam Madura B'schamim Kenegdu, that's only L'shitas Beis Hillel, who say that you do not actually require literally Ochel Nefesh, but something which is of benefit to the person, even if it's not for the purpose of consumption, it's not for eating, it's permissible. So it says, of Beis Shammai Lo Shanilu, but Beis Shammai would disagree. So Tashma, the Gemara, tries to answer this Gemara by quoting a Braisa, Beis Shammai Yomim lo yasa ad madura v'yischamim kenegda, Beis Hillel matirin. Over here, the Braisa tells us more than our Mishnah did. Our Mishnah didn't tell us whether this din was only according to Shittas Beis Hillel or Beis Shammai as well. But in Braisa, it's very clear. Beis Shammai say, you may not go ahead and make a madura on Yom Tov, even if it's for warming your entire body. Beis Hillel matirin, Beis Hillel say it's permissible. So it's explicit over here in the Braisa that it's only Beis Hillel who say that it's permissible to do this. Again, because this is, by extension, this is like a form of, it's not literally a form of Ochel Nefesh, but it's Dumiyot Ochel Nefesh. And Beis Shammai say no, that this is not permissible because this is not considered to be Tzorech Ochel Nefesh at all. And finally, the last Mishnah on the Yamad Chafalav and Mebeis. So it says the Mishnah, Shlosha Devarim Rabbi Gamliel Machmir Kedev Rabbi Shammai. There were three matters regarding the laws of Yom Tov where Rabbi Gamliel was Machmir just like Beis Shammai, even though Beis Hillel was Mekel. So the first one is, In Tomnin Asachamim, you're not permitted to go ahead and do Hatmana, to go ahead and to insulate food, L'chadchila, to do this what? On Yom Tov, Be Yom Tov, for the purpose of Shabbos. So we're talking over here about a Yom Tov, which is Chalan Erev Shabbos, and Rabbi Gamliel is Machmir. Like Beis Shammai, he says you cannot do Hatmana in this situation. The Gemara is going to discuss why not. The Ein Zokvin as a menorah Yom Tov. Rashi says the Havmin at this point is, what we assume this means is that if you have a menorah, a lamp, which falls over, you're not permitted to go ahead and to stand it back up, to put it back in place, in order to that it should be functional on Yom Tov. And finally, the Ein Ofen Pitin Gritzin El Rikikin. And finally, you're not permitted on Yom Tov to go ahead and to bake bread, which is Gritzin, which means very thick, because there's a great torech, there's a great effort that's involved. Or rather, you can only do rikikin, which means very thin bread. And continues the Mishnah. Amar Rabbi Gamliel, Mimein Shabbos Abba, Lo Haya Ofen Pitin Gritzin, El Rikikin. Gamliel says that from the days of Beis Abba, they did not make Pitin Gritzin, they didn't make these thick breads. El Rikikin, only very very thin ones. So we see that this was his tradition to be Machmir. So Amr Lo, so the Chachamim said to him, Manasa lebeis avicha. Why are you bringing a raya from your father's house? Shahi Machmir nolatzman, mekil l'cho Yisrael yos ofen pitin gritzin chararin. You can't bring a raya because they were Machmir for themselves. However, they paskind l'kula for everyone else. They said that it's permissible on Yom Tov to go ahead and to make pitin gritzin, these thick spreads, and not only that, even chararin. Which means breads that were baked directly on the coals, again, because this also requires a great torach, a great effort in doing it properly, because you don't want you want to be able to make a certain quality of bread, but at the same time, you don't want the coals to go out. So it requires more effort. Even this they permitted. So Chacham said to Gamliel, the fact that you saw in Beis Avicha, you saw something which was a big chumrah, that doesn't mean that they paskin that way for everyone, because we already find precedent for Beis Avicha being more machmir for themselves than they were for others. Okay, so the Mishnah we saw said that there were three dinim where Rav Gamliel was machmir like Beis Shammai. The first one was what? Ein tov nesacham l'chachili b'yom tov. If you're not permitted to go ahead and insulate food on Yom Tov in order that it should retain its heat going into Shabbos. So says Gemara, Hechidami, what's the case of you? Ida anach eruv tafshilin. If we're talking about a case where an eruv tafshilin was prepared before Yom Tov, which would enable you to go ahead and to prepare on Yom Tov for Shabbos, so my tami de Beis Shammai. So then why did Beis Shammai say that it's prohibited to do this? After all, Beis Shammai would allow you even to go ahead and cook if you had an eruv prepared. Vidalo anach eruv tafshilin. An eruv tafshilin was not prepared, so my tami de Beis Hillel. What's the reason for Beis Hillel who say that it's permissible? So Amar Rav Huna li olam emelach shalom neichon tafshilin. Huna says the case over here is where an eruv tafshilin was not prepared beforehand. Okay, so then we could certainly understand why Beis Shammai would prohibit you to do hatmana, because this is something which would only be permissible if you prepared an eruv. Aye, what about Beis Hillel? So far as Beis Hillel is concerned, kidei chayiv sharlei rabbanon. However, anything which is necessary in order for you to have the basic living needs met on Yom Tov, this is permissible, even though you didn't actually go ahead and prepare an Erev. So an Erev would allow you to do pretty much anything that you want to do. You can prepare for Shabbos in a very elaborate way. But even if you didn't make an Erev, so according to this, Shitas Chacham permitted you to go ahead and do things which are necessary, Mishum Kap of Shabbos. Rav Huna l'tamei, and Rav Huna's answer over here is consistent with that which he says elsewhere. Anybody who did not make an Erev Tafshilin, ofen lo pasachas, he can still go ahead and bake one loaf of bread. Umavashin lo kedei rachas, he can go ahead and cook one pot. Umadlika noas on there, and you could light one candle. Mishum Yibizchak gomim aft solen lo dug katan. And then Rav Yitzchak said, even to go ahead and to roast a small fish. So what do you see? Rav Huna held that even when you did not make an Erev, so you're very limited in terms of what you can do for Shabbos. However, the bare necessities were permitted to go ahead and to make one loaf of bread, to make one kedera, to light one candle. So this is permissible. So that would explain why Rav Huna, or at least Rav Huna, again, is Lashitase, that he says over here that that's Pshat in the Mishnah. When the Mishnah says that you cannot do Hatmana on Yom Tov, we're talking about a case where you didn't make an Erev, that's not included in these general, you know, very specific Haterim that are permissible, Mishum Kavod Shabbos. Tanya, you find the Braisa like that as well. Mishalo Nich, Eruv Tashilin, Ofen Lo Pasachas, Tom Lo Kadei Rachas, Van Ligan Lo Saner, Mechamin Lo Kison. Here in the Braisa, you have another one. So you can cook one pot. You could bake one loaf of bread. You could insulate one pot. You could light one candle. Mechamin Lo Kison Echod. You can go ahead and boil one kettle of water. The Yesh Omrim, and there's an opinion that says you can even go ahead and roast one small fish. So you see, we have a braisa that supports this idea from Rav Huna as well, that even at an Erev, there are still certain, the bare necessities are permissible.